Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 163 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap a little bit of nerd news. We'll begin with entertainment talk, as we always do, with the recent hiring of a deepfaker by Disney. South Park writers are getting into some real estate. And then the big story is the lawsuits taking place at Disney between Scarlett Johansson and a few other actors. Then we'll move over into tech news, where we'll talk about a brain-computer interface, some precognitive AI, a new data privacy violation from Amazon, and then a little bit of space news. A lot to get to. Let's get going.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we're back, episode 163, and a little short week for us in this entertainment section here, but we got one big story to get to. We'll get to that towards the end of this section here, but let's jump into the first article with the deepfaker that I think he's up to, I think last I saw it was like 4 million views or something like that. The guy who fixed Luke Skywalker from the finale of Mandalorian, he's actually officially got a title and a position down at Disney now.
You kind of got to love this story. You know, like if you're just some nerd tooling around at home with a hobby, just to get kind of noticed on that scale and then have it turn into a profitable job. Like this is what I imagine like every coder slash hobby, nerd hobbyist in tech kind of envisions one day.
Yeah, I imagine so. Like, this is probably like the dream job. But I think he even has like an interesting title that they gave him over there at Disney. And yeah, it's got to be the ideal job here. He's now running some kind of deep fake section. His official title is the senior facial capture artist over at Disney. So. Completely sure. Made up position for him.
Sure.
Like, they just don't want to call it deepfakes. Like, they don't want to call it what it is. So yeah. It's the facial capture artist.
Well, and he was doing it so much better. And it's how shitty do you feel if you're on like the LucasArts special effects team? Like, cause in order to do that Luke scene, it wasn't one dude. You're talking probably dozen, right? Maybe two dozen people worked on that.
Easily. Yeah, and they're doing like full CGI and everything else, and then some
random
dude with like a 2,000 followers on YouTube ends up coming up with something much better, just purely AI driven, just off of some software that he made and was able to dominate them.
Everybody at Pixar is like sweating bullets right now.
I mean, I think the person who should really be sweating is whoever's working on like those Mission Impossible movies, because that Tom Cruise deep faker is just waiting for that dude to just bust his face or get hurt doing one of his own stunts, and then he's going to get tapped in by whoever's making the Mission Impossible movies and get tapped in.
This kind of gives you mad hope though for like all kinds of sequels and prequels and side stories of all kinds of movies that you can get a Indiana Jones prequel. There's so many old ass motherfuckers that we all love that we still would watch in movies. Because this is a new generation, I don't see anybody up and coming or replacing the big names anytime soon. So you have all this potential.
You gotta wonder if you're like a new up and coming actor, you now have to like can be concerned that you're gonna start losing out on roles to just the same old shitty actors who've been around forever. Like, now with like the senior facial capture artist helping to take these big name actors that have aged out of certain roles, still getting these roles on 20-year-olds.
Some 22-year-old still got to go up against De Niro. And he's like, what the fuck me, bro? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So, there's probably a pro and con here. But no, this is it's the good use of deepfake technology, keeping some of these stories alive, allowing us to relive some of the older stories that we fell in love with and kind of tell them still using the same actors or at least the same faces. Oftentimes, the voices don't change that much over the years, so you can really get the same acting out of these different franchises. So,
well, they're going to cross a line eventually. Cause like they did it really good with Luke, and they did it good with, Carrie Fisher and everything, but there's going to be times where they invoke the deepfake and everyone's going to be like, oh, too soon. Like, I don't know if anybody's ready for a Robin Williams deepfake yet, even still. Like, I think you throw Robin Williams in some kind of scenario where you're remaking one of his old movies or something. I still think, like, everyone would walk out of that theater crying.
Yeah. I think there's going to be some touchy subjects that what people do with these,
go ahead and try to deepfake Chadwick Boseman right now, motherfucker's gonna come at your throat.
Yeah, and the royalties and stuff of that, like who gets paid for those things? So that's going to be an interesting topic because yeah, somebody's going to deepfake some dead actor, and the family's going to sue.
Oh, for sure, it's all coming down the line, folks, and we'll be right here to report it for you.
But let's. Let's just keep this thing moving, and we can head over to another kind of interesting article. You could probably provide more context to this than I can, simply because what we've got is the South Park writers. I guess they're looking to purchase a restaurant, Casa Bonita. I'm sure that restaurant has meaning to you. You watch the show pretty regularly.
Well, Casa Bonita is in one of the most really famous episodes of South Park. It's where the kids have gone for a long time, and it's an actual restaurant in Colorado where they grew up, and I guess somebody's selling it. I just love this story because it's like what you would imagine everybody would do if you just got fuck you money, right? Like if you just got fuck you money and somebody's gonna close down like your just like childhood memory or something, you just no, fuck that. I'm gonna buy it. I'm gonna run it at a loss, and I don't care. Like this thing is gonna like no lie for those in the Chicagoland area. You know, if I had fuck you money, Kittyland would still be up and running right now. I promise you that.
Yeah,
I had too many childhood memories at that goddamn theme park. There's no goddamn way I would have let that thing ever die if I had South Park money.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's a funny story too because in the article themselves they like clearly state that like the restaurant is being run into the dirt. Like they're taking complete shots at like the existing ownership and just talking about like the restaurant's going under Chapter 11. They're like our beloved restaurant is has so much potential and it's being ran terribly and they're looking forward to owning it and whatever else. So that, yeah, they're absolutely taking shots at the existing ownership, seeing it fail, seeing it go out of business. And it's like, yeah, just save it, go for it, save it, oh, yeah. Throw up some Cartmans in there and whatever else you feel like sticking around.
You give me South Park money. There's like a good short list of places that would never die if I had just a pile of money I could burn. There's a whole handful of places in my life.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it for this here story. Let's move on to the big one in entertainment, and that's this lawsuit between Scarlett Johansson and Disney, and she's suing Disney over breach of contract following the release of Black Widow. Black Widow didn't do very well in the box office. Did okay, post COVID. Okay, I guess, but definitely not what I'm sure that everybody anticipated this movie was going to do following, Infinity War and Endgame, and this being kind of the first movie back. And she was set, she had one of those Robert Downey Jr. contracts to make a certain amount of royalties on the box office sales, on those initial sales at the theater. Well, Disney Plus cut a lot into that. Their choice to release it and simultaneously release it on Disney Plus Premiere took money out of her pocket, and that's what she's claiming. That's what she's suing for. Yeah, and since Scarlett's come out and filed her lawsuit, you get other actors either coming out in support or just trying to get their own money. And like I saw an article about Emma Stone doing it with Cruella, which went straight to Disney Plus. I don't even think it hit the theaters.
No, well, I mean, it did hit the theaters. It did the same thing as Black Widow, same day release.
Oh, that's right.
But then Gerard Butler going back and looking at the numbers from Angel Has Fallen. I think that, because I saw that in the theater, and I think that was like right at the beginning of COVID. But I don't know if it had a release to like a streaming service or if it was just they pulled it from theaters and did that like at-home release where you could pay $20 on any streaming service to watch it.
Oh.
But it seems
he's just
like
upset that nobody watches any of his movies anymore.
Well, and I'm wondering if a lot of people are just going back and just not trusting the numbers from these studios anymore now.
Yeah, and I guess, is this kind of the common practice? Do the big-name actors all get kind of a cut? And that goes into well, you know, not anymore, not going to the future. It looks like, you know, everybody is doing the streaming service thing.
You figure they got a little mad after paying, you know, Kevin Costner some Waterworld money and John Travolta some Battlefield Earth money. And, you know, what was that one with the dude from Friday Night Lights that just totally tanked that John whatever? Like some of these movies cost $500 million and didn't make shit. So it's a way to get these big actors and kind of protect yourself on the back end.
Yeah. And, you know, it's unfortunate for, like, Scarlett in this. You know, she's done, you know, 9 movies. She's been around in the MCU for a really long time, a big anchor. Finally gets her own movie. Yeah, the movie wasn't great, but it was entertaining, and it would have done better. People would have come out and seen it. Bad timing because of COVID. But, you know, pick a side of this argument between Scarlett and Disney, and I can defend it, right? Like,
of course, you fucking robot. You can defend either side, you know. But, like, I'm, you know, Kevin Feige even came out. It's the next article in our notes is that he even came out and was kind of, like, upset about the whole thing. Because it's not like she didn't try to renegotiate. Like, look, I'm not trying to, like, be a total bitch about it. But, you guys, this is kind of fucked up, you know. And came to him with multiple scenarios and multiple attempts to try to plead to them to not fuck her out of millions. You know, and Disney just was like, nah, fuck that, man. Like, it is really kind of, like, ruthless of them to kind of do this.
It is, and it isn't, right? Like, this is also a big part of what the studio put together. It's holding hostage other MCU movies and other things that need to continue to move forward. So you eventually have to release it. And now I guess they didn't have to do the simultaneous Disney Plus release.
They could have done 3-week delay, they could have did a delay, but no, they decided to do same day. And they did $60 million in Disney. So, like, I don't know the details of the lawsuit enough to speculate, but you figure, okay, $30 to watch it at home. Four people watch it at home. Well, that's $60 in movie tickets. So if you want to equate it to that, like, really, that $60 million in Disney Plus money would have been $120 million in theater money.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but what kind of compensation does she get off of those sales? Disney claims that they are compensating her for the Disney premiere money. If that's true, then I don't know. I guess what else is she going to get? Would she want this delayed even longer, or I guess just less people to see it when it released? Because the theaters are still not really getting a big draw. And, like, I'm sure that more people would have seen it. But
I thought it was really shitty that, like, Disney made it seem like she has this, like, callous attitude towards COVID now because of it. Like, her doing this lawsuit and caring about money during this COVID times is just totally insensitive and blah blah blah. Like, I think it's really a shitty statement to put out by Disney. But then, like, absolutely, you said, at the same time, like, there are a lot of people out there going, you know, she's over here bitching about movie percentage sales. My job don't fucking exist anymore, okay, lady? Like, my fucking job doesn't exist anymore. So you can squander over how many more millions you could have made. I can't fault average Joe for being like, fuck you and your fucking millions. My whole shit vanished in thin air, and I'm trying to fucking figure out what the fuck I'm gonna do with my life.
Yeah, and, you know, how many other movies are being put on hold because Disney kept having to reschedule and push back these movies and push back delays? So then the next movie slates are getting pushed back in production because they're not going to compete against themselves, so they're not going to fill up the slate. They've got to clear the old movies first before they really start doing more. You know, so how many grips and how many, you know, cameramen and women and whatever else are out of work or reduced work because there's just
Hollywood hasn't recovered yet. Okay, Tom Cruise.
No, I mean, you got to move. You have to move. Like, Disney has to move forward. Disney has to move forward. So however they move forward is whatever. Like, if they compensate her for the Disney Plus premiere. Now, if what would be really messed up is if they didn't pay her at all for the Disney Plus premiere stuff, because they said, like, hey, your contract only covered you know, box office tickets. Well, it's like, well, no shit, because my contract was before COVID and Disney Plus wasn't a thing. You know, like, that would be really dirty if that was the tactic Disney played. But it doesn't seem that that was the case. It seems that Disney did.
Well, we don't know the exact details. Like, we don't know percentages. We don't know a lot of, like how much money are we actually saying that we missed out on? You know, like, we just know there's a lawsuit. I don't think any of the major details have leaked yet. So, yeah, if she's fighting over, like, $5-10 million, like,
all she claims
right.
$20 million. She claims that she lost $20 million.
Yeah, and like I said, that's not a small number, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
like,
she's nearing
the end of her career. She just got married. She's probably trying to have some babies. She might pull, you know, a Jennifer Garner and just vanish off into the sunset and do car commercials for the next fucking 8 years. I don't fucking know what her fucking life plan is. This $20 million might be the last hurrah. You know, we don't know. So if you kind of
disrespect Jennifer Garner like that, she's still making movies.
I was a big Jennifer Garner fan, but you know, like right now she's a Capital One spokeslady. So I don't know what the fuck to say about her career choices.
I don't know. She just did some like badass murdering woman movie for like Netflix last year.
And I see a free movie a week and I didn't go watch it either. So I don't know what to tell you about that.
I watched it. I don't disrespect Jennifer Garner.
Man, Alias is one of my all-time favorite shows. I have mad love for, in my 20s, Jennifer Garner. I don't know if I want to watch, you know, Xennial Jennifer Garner out there on the mean streets of Mexico trying to smash a cartel. I don't think that's plausible anymore.
Either way, something tells me that Disney wasn't making enough money for her to get that $20 million. I think she's basing that $20 million number off of like projections pre-COVID on if like everybody was still going to the movies and nobody cared. That wasn't the case. I don't think she was ever getting that money. So I'm sure the settlement and the lawyers will fight. They'll settle out of court. They'll sign her for a new movie. Everybody will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to feel bad because, you know, timing sucks, man. Timing, life is all about timing. And, you know, it's fucked up. Like, I feel bad for her. I'm not going to lie. I feel bad. You know, she worked really hard for Marvel. She was finally going to get her time in the sun and cash in all that hard work. And Rona said, fuck you, ScarJo.
Absolutely. But whatever. It said fuck you to a lot of people, so...
Yeah, it said fuck you to a whole shit ton of people.
Everybody will move on. But we can also move on here. And we got one more little thing here in entertainment, and that's an opportunity for you to talk bad about PlayStation, I guess, because Horizon Forbidden West, you know, which is a sequel game, a highly anticipated game, it was supposed to kind of get a holiday release. There was some writing on the wall that wasn't going to happen, and now it's definitely not going to happen.
I mean, but this is like the video game trend. Like, everything
really
gets delayed. Everything gets delayed. This isn't a shot at PlayStation. This is a shot at every game developer out there that gives us an arbitrary date that they know they're not going to hit. They're just they give these dates to create buzz and get you all
excited.
But it
sounds good at E3 and it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they just push it back. Like, don't it's so to the point where like they can't even nail down a year. You know what I'm saying? Like, for 2022 release, you know, sometime fall of 2022. And then next thing you know, it's like, nope, we're looking at summer of 2023. It's like, you motherfuckers can't even get a year right. So just chamber that shit until, you know, like, obviously if there's years left to be developed, like, I want to know when you're rolling out your beta. You know, like, I don't even want to know the game exists till you're about to be in beta.
Yeah, nobody's going to do that. Their PR teams, I'm sure they like, you know, all this aspect, because they can always spin the delays in trying to put out the best product possible for their consumers and whatever else. They could always spin it, but it just keeps the anticipation going. It keeps, you know, them having a way to slowly drop in new game footage and new stuff. You know, they don't get just one E3. They get two E3s because they get the first one where they announced it, and then they get another one after they delay it past the other conferences, and they get to go out again and release new information.
Well, that's the thing, though, is like, I stopped giving a shit about video game releases. Like, I don't even pay attention anymore, you know, and movies were starting to get that way for me just because of all this, the COVID delays and shit. And it's like, you can't, you got to give me something to look forward to. You got to give me the light at the end of the tunnel. And if it keeps moving, then I just won't give a shit. And then one day I'll just wake up and it'll be out and be like, oh yeah, they made that game. Oh yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, well, I'm odd coming out of the entertainment section. Two things that I would have put money on was in the deep fake conversation, you were going to talk about porn. Didn't happen.
Nope.
And in this Horizon Forbidden West, you were going to shit on PlayStation. Didn't happen. So.
No.
No, I can't say you're predictable today.
No, not at all. But you can't put your thumb down on me.
No, not today. So let's go ahead and move out of entertainment and see if we can get some predictable responses from you over here in tech. And we'll start off the tech segment here. Not a ton going on right now, but what we did get is the FDA has approved the first brain-computer interface, actual implanted brain-computer interface test to be done. And it wasn't given to Neuralink.
Well, yeah, you figure Neuralink's still a little bit behind, you know, for all this. They've had other brain interfaces that started before Elon even started doing Neuralink, so... You figure they would beat him to the human trials, but it's still in innovation. They're way behind. You know, these are still the boxes that you screw on top of your head in, you know, the old school kind of technology that Elon's trying to surpass. So I don't think he's in a different race. He's not even on the same track as these guys.
Yeah, this one's closer to what we think of Neuralink. I mean, it is internally implanted. This one, it's kind of different. They're not cutting open your skull or doing any actual like brain surgery for this one. They open up a vein in the back of your neck, and they're able to essentially slide this wire system, which is kind of like a small like linear sensor that they're able to slide into a position in your brain. So there's no like invasive surgery directly into your brain. It's all like arthroscopically inserted. And then once it's inserted in the brain, it has a sensor that it connects and gains power through your chest. And then that transmits to the computers, and you can control computer cursors. You could do similar things to what Neuralink is doing, which, you know, Neuralink is allowing you just to essentially control an app on your phone, but then that app unlocks you to the internet and everything else. That's essentially what this is doing. You can control cursors, you can control basic functions on a computer, which will give you then access, or paralyzed individuals, that's who this is focused on, is people who have paralysis. It'll give them the ability to control computer interfaces. And it is all internal. It's not the big, you know, hat that somebody's wearing that's mapping out the brain or whatever else. So they've tested this already in a few human trials in Australia, because Australians don't give a fuck. They already let people throw this in their brain. Now it comes here to the U.S. and first actual internal brain computer interface being tested, being approved. Beating Neuralink, and like I said, it's pretty similar to the Neuralink's design. Just Neuralink is more invasive. There's more probes, more wires and things being inserted. And, you know, they have those needles that are precisely placing that stuff directly into the brain. It's gotta have a
robot put it in your fucking head.
This company doesn't need that, right? So no surprise that they can get the FDA approval. This system's going to do less, but it's also less invasive. So FDA's going to have to take more time with Elon before they can sign off on that.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I don't think he's worried about anybody else. I think he just is laser focused on his own goals. And, you know, if he wanted to beat Bezos into space, he could have at any point he wanted to, really. You know, he's just laser focused on what he wants to do.
I mean, he did beat Bezos putting people into space. He put people at the International Space Station.
Himself. If he wanted to put himself into space, yeah. he could have just strapped himself in at any point he wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, easily. But, we can move on from that story there to go over to, we've got a Pentagon story here, and this is the headline.
Yeah,
let's go with the headline first. Is that the Pentagon believes that that its precognitive AI can predict events days in advance.
How is this? How is this a real thing? Like, how are they trying to even justify any of this? Like, we all seen this movie. We know how this ends.
and that's the beauty of like this Engadget. You know, headline is that it really just brings you to
it's fucking Minority Report.
Minority Report, and wasn't there a TV show recently about this?
Not one that I watched.
Yeah, I think there was a recent TV show, but this isn't precognitive. Like this, the whole term, this headline, it's such clickbait. And you want to know what? I clicked. Damn it.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You know, we watched the movie. We saw the downsides of it. You see the faults in it. You see how unethical it is. And at the end of the movie, there's still some fucking assholes out there that are just like, nope, need to do that. We need to do that.
No, because this isn't precognitive in sense of like it's predicting what people are going to do before they think it. This is precognitive in the sense that the AI is predicting things before our humans can detect it, yeah, and can think it.
This AI is going to piece together the, you know, the 9/11, you know, plane training logs that the FBI had that nobody put together. It's, you know, it's hoping to predict those kinds of things and see patterns in the shit that we should have seen patterns in sooner.
Yeah,
than we.
And it specifically talks about like focusing on areas like the Panama Canal, focusing on the coastal regions of various countries. It could very easily kind of detect when a ship is maybe going to deploy soon, or a submarine is going to launch soon and stuff like that. Because, you know, similar to what you could do, if you want to know like when a U.S. Navy ship's going to leave soon, just watch the parking lot and you'll see more and more cars coming in, and you'll see things, you know, rolling in and supplies getting stacked into the ships, stuff like that. Like you could predict that, hey, your days, you're imminently going to push off and float away. So that's what these AI tools are doing, is it's using sensors and satellites and stuff like that, and it's tracking how many cars are going in, how many people are walking onto a ship every day, how many people are walking into a submarine every day or a submarine base every day, what's the traffic patterns. And then the AI is learning and then able to predict based off of traffic patterns, based off of human behavior and everything else, pretty accurately what that equals to our adversaries' militaries.
I would have
kind of make sense.
Yeah, I would have to see a lot of the applications they want to use this for. I really don't like this in any kind of military application whatsoever. Because for one, I don't want military maneuvers being based off of essentially what are assumptions, even if they are strong assumptions backed by AI. And then, I mean, if anybody's going to get good at manipulating a shit, it's going to be the Chinese. Like, you mean to tell me they ain't just going to have 1,000 Chinese motherfuckers park cars in a goddamn Navy parking lot if they know that's all they got to do to hack the system? Like, or they won't just, you know, ship in their troops. And like, once this system is known,
they'll try to mask it.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like, once they have like the formula or the algorithm that this AI kind of predicts these things off of, it's only a matter of time before they learn how to manipulate it. And then we're just back to square one where we don't know shit and we might as well just like, I don't know. Like I need to see some like real world adaptations that involve like, you know, weather patterns and like, okay, like if this is happening, this is happening, most likely this is going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's not going to, you know, result in a massive world war or casualties or some kinds of other crazy shit. You know, you apply it to assembly line fucking, you know, production. Okay, sure. Like, run with that.
I feel like you're giving too much credit to the human beings that are already making decisions off of a lot of assumptions. The AI won't hurt, right? Like, having pretty smart tools that closer track and predict behavior and then can flag suspicious behavior for humans to then go validate and make decisions off of is way more efficient than what we have now.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I believe that totally. Like we have facial recognition systems that can't see black people. We have we have all kinds of faults in these programs. You know, who knows what, you know, a random event is going to happen that's going to trigger some AI assumption that assumes whatever's going to happen. And it was just really this dude scratched his nose at this right angle at this right time. Like, I don't know. I just don't believe it. I don't have much faith in these kinds of things.
Well, somebody's making this decision without your approval, so it's gonna move forward. But I think it has some utility. I'm sure the other adversarial nations are doing similar things and tracking our movements, tracking our troop readiness or troop you know.
Well, yeah, that's one of the main reasons why we had to ban TikTok and shit. You know, like because yeah, you can take that data and quantify it. And I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but at the same time, we deploy this, you're just going to have a whole bunch of Chinese people parking over on one end so they can sneak in a bunch of Chinese people on the back end.
Black vans.
Yeah, like you're
hoping that our AI can't see it.
Yeah, you're going to have all kinds of just deceptiveness going on. And us as a country are too unorganized and stupid to pull any of that shit off. But Russia, China, they got enough willing citizens that just participate in all kinds of fuckery to dupe this AI.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to some other AI issues here with Amazon and the way in which they generate ads for us. And right now, Amazon has been hit with the largest fine that they've been ever given by any kind of violation. They've been fined $887 million for violating data privacy rules in Europe. So specifically, the National Commission for Data Protection has definitely tighter rules than what we have here in the United States about the way you can gather and how you can use data. And they have found that Amazon is violating that in the way that they deliver targeted ads to individuals, that the targeted ads are coming from data that they had no right to have in the first place. So they're fining them the $887 million. That's a pretty significant sum, right? That's a pretty significant fine.
It's not a small number. I mean, it's not much to Amazon, but it's not a small number.
So yeah, we'll see if this actually holds. Of course, Amazon is going to appeal it, and they're going to say that the law was not very clear, and there was no. That's what Amazon's initially claiming, is that the law was not very clear. The violations that they made were not kind of made, I don't know, egregiously.
I don't know if that flies because you can't just tell a cop that I just really didn't understand what that law was. Like, they don't give a shit. They throw the book at you regardless of whether you fucking understand or not.
Well, they're saying
you should ask somebody, motherfucker.
There's a difference in interpretation by the, you know, the SEC.
Yeah, they have a whole building full European of lawyers Union. That all they get paid to do is interpret shit.
Yeah, they get paid to interpret it in the way that favors them. And now they're going to take that interpretation to court and say that, this hey, even if they do get fined, they should be fined that much.
We have like such lax regulations and laws in the United States, and like everywhere else in Europe, these companies have to abide by the European laws of each individual country and their regulations, and they still make tons of profit. You know, they wouldn't be in those countries if it wasn't profitable for them to operate like that. And then you get our country, and it's just like the Wild West of shit, whatever they can do. I mean, even with like pharmaceuticals, it always blows my mind that like to instantly clean up like price gouging and stuff, all we have to do is just like pass a law that says no pharmaceutical company can charge us more than they charge another country. Cause like, if you can sell it for $35 at a profit in that fucking country, you should sell it to us for $35 in our country. But instead we let them rape us, and the United States ends up funding the innovation that the rest of the world fucking benefits from. And it's the same kind of shit like this. Like Amazon is just raping our data and targeting the shit out of us. And Europe's like, hey man, that's a little unethical. You shouldn't do that. And they're just like, oh yeah, we forgot you guys aren't the dumb Americans that we take advantage of every fucking day. My bad.
Yeah. And that's really the only thing that I hope comes out of this story is, I don't know, maybe some greedy politician will be like, hey, I want $887 million from Amazon. Like, let's go ahead and do this. Let's go out there. Let's change laws to similar to what they're doing, which is, you know, clearly kind of capturing and catching the data scraping from Amazon in order to deliver targeted ads.
Yeah, I had this whole like European difference conversation last week. I can't remember who I was talking to, but someone had their mind blown when I had to tell them that Cheetos in Europe are white. They're not orange because the orange dye is banned in Europe, so all the Cheetos are white. And they're like, what? Like it was just like utter shock. What the fuck do you mean they're white?
Well, like, that's kind of blowing my mind right now too, though.
You didn't know that either?
No, I didn't know that.
Motherfucker, you're world traveled. Like, what's wrong with you?
I'm just not a Cheeto eater.
Cheetos,
but now if I go to Europe, Cheetos in Europe, are white. I'm going to get Cheetos.
Cheetos in Europe are white because the orange dye has certain toxins in it that are banned in Europe. So all the Cheetos in Europe are white. But in America,
so they're not like staining their clothes with white Cheeto.
Nope.
Or with yellow Cheeto dust.
Nope.
Huh.
Like just us stupid Americans.
Just us orange tagged Americans over here.
Oh. And it just totally makes sense. You know, you just picture the brute American with orange fingers and then the civilized European with just scraping off white dust. But like, yeah, we let all kinds of I remember when we were trying to get our daughter baby formula, there's like some of the best baby formula you can get is in Germany, but they only sell it in Germany because it's like only allowed the way they make it there. Like, yeah, every country has their different shit. And I just don't understand like how one country doesn't look at another country's standards that are better and say, you know, I kind of like that. Like we should probably do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not even listening to you anymore. I'm just Googling European Cheetos right now. And
you're trying to fact check me on a spot, motherfucker. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I did try to fact check you because I wanted to see some white Cheetos. And I couldn't find any. And actually, all I found was a recent article saying that if you go to Europe and you're a Cheeto fan, you actually can't find it anywhere. It's completely banned now.
I'm a little behind, I guess.
They have banned it altogether.
On second thought, it wasn't just the orange dye. These things are fucking horrible.
Yeah, that's what I'm coming up with. So I did fact check you, and you lied.
I was accurate. I was accurate as of like 2003, I think.
Did you just say 2003?
Yeah.
All right.
Who knows? This is the first number that popped in my head. It's still, yeah, that just shows how old I was because it still feels like yesterday.
All right. Well, let's move on to last little segment story here. Just a quick little space news because we went deep on space last week with the Bezos penis rocket. This week is just a little lighter one. Quick story, an update to the NASA Boeing partnership for the Starliner and trying to get out to the International Space Station. And man, this thing just can't get its day. You know, back in 2019, I don't know if you remember, the Starliner did its first test flight trying to reach the International Space Station. A software issue kind of gave it a bit of a glitch while it was flying. It missed its orbital pattern and then just never made it to the National Space Station. It just floated around, mistimed in orbit, and failed. And that was a big, costly failure for Boeing. That's the last time they were able to launch one of these things. Now they've just had continuous pushbacks, continued software problems, issues that has caused them to not have launched since that failure in November of 2019.
Boeing has been taking L's for years now.
Yeah. And then they go to do this launch this last week, and it just happens to be that there was a Russian module that has recently docked a couple of days ago, docked with the International Space Station. And then while it was docked at the International Space Station, accidentally kicked on its thrusters, pushing the International Space Station off of its natural orbit and changing the position of it. And now Boeing can no longer launch their Starliner because they can't actually link up with it in the same flight path and everything that they had planned.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Like, so
and leave it to the Russians too, right?
Yeah, damn cosmonauts.
Like, how does that even happen? How does that even go down?
Yeah,
like,
so
they started the rocket and they left it in gear. You know, I don't understand how you make that big of a mistake. Like, because especially when you think of like astronauts, it's that picture in your head of the control room where like they have to ask a dude and five people say check before they flip one switch. You know, and it's like engaging thrusters and three, and then it's like one click and the dude does it. Like this dude just like hopped in the cockpit, turned the key and was like, oh shit,
not the cosmonauts. Like, that's not how they row.
Some dude named Sergey is just fucking shit up.
Yeah, so needless to say, I'm sure the Boeing team who just spent the last 2 years trying to recover from their latest screw up and redesigning software and getting this thing ready to go. Needless to say, they're quite upset right now. They're hoping to launch still sometime in August. We'll see if it actually happens. They're recalibrating the timing of everything or whatever else, but they're still looking to maybe launch this month. So we'll talk about it again.
Can you imagine being on the space station too when it happens? Like just the catastrophic fear that goes through your head.
Oh yeah,
when some dipshit docked on your space station just shoots you off orbit. And like, oh my God, like I could only imagine. Like there's a movie that's a 2024. It's a movie. Watch. Like there's some dude with a lot of money looking to write scripts right now, taking that as inspiration.
All right. Well, that's it. That's a week. Nerd news. Done.
Ben won.
Well, as always, just a quick plug to say, I don't know, send this episode to somebody else.
Do a little bit more.
Yeah. Do a little bit more. You know, while you're out there getting your orange Cheeto fingers or whatever else, just hit the share button, send it off to somebody else, and see if we can get 200, I don't know, a couple more listeners out of this episode, and then just join us again next week.
Yeah, ever since we hit over 1,000 members in the Nerd Cantina Facebook group, you don't get like the accurate readout anymore. It's just 1.0K, and we hit 1.1. So now like every increment is, I guess, in the hundreds increments that we can get excited for. So come on and join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Join the group. A lot of fun people in there. A lot of good conversation. A lot of funny shit going down every day. Like it is by far, like, I don't even know where all these people find these things.
Me neither, but it's to our benefit. But all right, well, until next week, talk to you later, nerds.
See ya.